We are beneath what God originally intended us to be. There is only one thing certain about man. Man is not what he was meant to be.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This is part two from Pastor Rogers' new series, Jesus Said. This lesson is entitled, Follow Me and I Will Make You. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
I don't know. Sometimes we read it as if it's third party and it doesn't apply. But I want you to listen to this. In Mark chapter 10, verse 35, and there came near to him, James and John, came near to Jesus, the sons of Zebedee. Now, they've been walking with him as disciples, sons of Zebedee. And they said, Teacher, we wish, listen to this statement, we wish that whatever we may ask for ourselves, thou may it do us for. Now, in the King James, that's real flowery, that says, hey, Jesus, we want to ask you something, and we want you to do it for us. Y'all with me? And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And then they ask him this pride-filled question. They said, hey, one of us wants to sit on the right hand and the other one wants to sit on the left. You think you can make that happen for us? I mean, when you get into your kingdom, one of us wants to sit on the right hand, and Jesus saying, hold it. I'm reading in between the King James here. Jesus said, hold it. The right hand seat is for me. Amen. And Jesus said to them, you don't even know what you've asked for. And then he asked this question. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? And with pride, they said, sure. So when Jesus went to prayer, what did James and John do? They knocked off into cutting some Z's out there. After a while, Jesus said, I've already checked in on y'all twice. The last time, the third time, he said, sleep on, boys. It'll be all right. I got it covered. They couldn't drink the cup. They couldn't even stay awake to see the cup. They were nicknamed the sons of thunder. But God, I'm telling you, God is amazing in his mercy and grace. He sees more in us than we know that we even have in ourselves. And he turned around. These are the guys. Listen, how'd you like to have some disciples like this? Some employees like this? Just because the customer that showed up that you served today didn't like the way you did? James and John's, the sons of thunder over at a Samaritan village, wanted to call fire down on the whole village because they rejected them. Kill them. We just came by to give them some good news, and they rejected us. Kill them all. How'd you like for that to happen at Pace? Yeah, no, I have no idea how many times preachers have wanted to call fire down from heaven, and God said, stop. I know none of y'all have ever wanted to do that. It'll be all right. And yet, Jesus takes these guys and makes, watch this, how'd you like to know this? James becomes the head of the church at Jerusalem, the head church, like the Springfield headquarters of the Assemblies of God, makes James, the guy who wanted to call fire down from heaven, turns him into the tenderness of a child and gives him the first seat position in the very first organization and government of the church. Look at your neighbor and tell him there's hope for you. Well, if that didn't hit any of you, how about this one? Mary Magdalene was changed from a demoniac possession to dynamic power. Yeah, yeah. So, what happens here in Luke 8 and 2, the Bible says, here's this woman who had seven devils. She had seven demons, and Jesus cast them out. And don't you know when they saw this woman coming, they already identified her? This crazy woman, she's demon-possessed, all that kind of stuff. And then she turns around into a disciple of Jesus Christ. Most of her life was isolated, rejected, and alone. She felt further away than anybody else. Everybody had this already stigma on her. And yet, She was one of the first ones that Jesus spoke to, the first one that Jesus spoke to at the tomb. Come on now. At the tomb, when Jesus is resurrected, there he stands. And the Bible says that when Mary turned around, let me say to you, whenever you turn around, you're going to see Jesus. She turned around and he calls her name, Mary. First thing she does is she says, the Bible says she thinks he's the gardener. She thinks he's the gardener, but he speaks her name again. And then she says, Rabbi. What was the difference? The difference is she had heard that voice before. Have you ever heard Jesus call your name before? When he calls your name again, don't mistake him as the gardener. That's Jesus. Come on, somebody. She said, I've heard that voice before. That's the same voice that cast out all these demons and changed my life. Say amen, somebody. Here is Thomas, who was changed from skepticism to faith in chapter 20 of the book of John. Thomas said, I don't believe that Jesus is alive. And Jesus comes walking through the wall. And y'all thought that little bump of a on the speaker a little while ago, how'd you like to have Jesus walk through the wall on you? Some of y'all pass out, so would I. Y'all laid out on the floor. When we woke up, he'd say, yeah, I've been here an hour. What y'all been doing? Check him out. Thomas says, I don't believe, and Jesus thinks of him so much that he's willing to make a personal appearance to him. And Thomas becomes the first missionary into the country of India. India is evangelized because of doubting Thomas, changed from a skeptic to a man full of faith. And listen to how much influence came there. Thomas, the apostle, the disciple Thomas, had so much influence in the country of India that the number one English name given to children in India is Thomas. Isn't that powerful? That's influence, my friends. And I take you to the last one right here. Paul was changed from legalism to grace. You know he was. He was a legalistic Pharisee of Pharisees, the Bible says. He was out to kill Christians when God got a hold of him and blinded him with a light, knocked him off of his horse, and there he is, and God speaks to him, Christ speaks to him, calls him to be the number one scribe disciple of all the others. Two-thirds of your New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Most of what we know as biblical doctrine today is because of the Apostle Paul. And yet, nobody would have him as their pastor. How'd you like to be calling a pastor here at Pace Assembly and the resume read, I just came back from killing a few hundred Christians? How many of you would vote him in on 100% vote on that one? You know? I just killed a few people, and I was on my way to do that when Jesus saved me, and now I want to be your pastor. No. But it was so revolutionary that it's so revolutionary. Just thought of this. It's so revolutionary. Being a disciple is more than going through the religious routines of coming to a Wednesday night Bible study and tucking the notes in your Bible. The Holy Spirit wants to work on every one of us to make us more like Christ. If you don't purposefully engage that process, then you will be sitting here next year this time with the same level of understanding of Jesus and that Bible that you do right now. Are you listening to me tonight? What a tragedy that would be for you to miss an entire year of drawing closer to God when you had five Bibles average in every home that's a believer's home. Movies coming out on Friday night of the Apostle Paul. Movie coming out a few weeks ago on I Can Only Imagine that's taking it by storm. We're coming up on Easter weekend again. All of that. We got sermons on podcast and video and any other access. We are the most deluged society with the gospel more than ever before. Yep. And we're the most fearful. We're the most troubled society than ever before. We need people who will be disciples, who will lead in such a way that as, listen, my God, I feel something right now. I believe we're about this close, we're close to the coming of the Lord, closer, of course, than we've ever been, and that's not an understatement. But I believe the time is coming when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to be so strong. As Peter walked by and his shadow was laid on those that were sick who needed a healing, I believe God is going to do miraculous things in these last days. Why? Because this is a visual society, and they've got to have it seen visually. They're a virtual world society. They live inside of one of these virtual boxes right here that everything that looks like it's real, they're watching it there, they're on their phone, all that. God is going to pour out his spirit, but he's going to need some disciples who he can use your hands, your feet, and your mouth to be able to work the works of the Lord who you know. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing here tonight. Michelangelo, you know, incredible sculptor, painter, all that kind of thing. Michelangelo described sculpting as the making of men. And many of you are familiar with many of his sculptures and statues. He called it this, freeing men from the prison of stone. So in other words, in his mind, instead of trying to cut out a sculpture of the individual, he said he simply removed the stone from the sculpture that he saw. Okay? He could look into that stone and see Moses, who he chiseled to life in stone, and David and others. And there are sometimes when he had quit sculpting something that he had started on because of great frustration, as it was in the sculpture of the apostle, the disciple, Matthew. This is one of four different sculptures that in Florence, Italy, that are called the captive giants that Michelangelo did not complete. The reason why he said he didn't complete them is because that the stone refused to release the prisoner. So he stopped. Michelangelo may have stopped in frustration from getting Matthew completed. But because you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit never stops working to bring about a finished disciple. And so what you see maybe as adversity is actually the master sculptor chiseling on the statue that he's bringing from the rock. How many times have I felt the chisel? How many times have I felt the hammer? And I didn't know what he was doing. And I thought I needed that piece of me. But I didn't need it because what he saw in me was greater than what I saw in myself. The Holy Spirit is not through with any of us. He's still working on us. How many of you are going to let the master keep on working on it?
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.